September 29th, 1982, and the year is just about winding down. Now, there were seven main subjects that I hope to fit into this half hour on the Vatican story that took place just in 17 days in the past month. First of all, was the new autopsy on Roberta Calvi, the banker, God's banker, the president of Banco Ambrosiano, that was done in Italy. They exhumed the body, and after they discovered the body and they had it and did the second autopsy, because the one in London said suicide, they immediately went after the people that were with Calvi. They didn't give the result of the autopsy like with Kevin McCulley. They say suicide, he tied his legs around his pants. This time they exhumed Roberta Calvi, and they're going after the killers, and I'll mention their names tonight on the air. The second episode I mentioned was the Pope going down to Sicily for the first time in 600 years. I want to mention that briefly. The third episode, he asked them November 21st and 22nd, give up the drugs and stop killing each other. November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, there was a first meeting of the cardinals. There were three firsts in this time period. The cardinals all met. The only time they meet is when a pope is elected, when one pope dies and a pope is elected. They were all in Rome, all the cardinals, to discuss their banking problems. And they were, of course, the pope had just given a speech against the drugs. And November 22nd, 23rd, 24th, in the various newspapers, they cleared themselves of responsibility for the notes that the chief banker, Paul Marcinkus, had signed and given. He was supposed to honor. They cleared themselves of responsibility for the money, and they won't say where the money is. The fourth important event was the Wall Street Journal, November 23rd, this past week. While they were clearing themselves, it is a magnificent article on the Banco Ambrosiano and the Vatican and how they connect together. After you read that, you haven't any doubt that they're an overlay. Roberta Calvi, and before him, Michael Sindona and Paul Marcinkus, the head of the Vatican Bank, without any doubt. And it's very important to tell you that the Wall Street Journal is carrying one good article after the other. Why? I might have mentioned before, they don't cover political assassinations, but these banks are collapsing. All over the world, the money is missing. And the Wall Street Journal is for people who have money in those banks. So the Wall Street Journal did a detailed article, front page story, and then inside a whole page practically, November 23rd, on the clear links between the Vatican and Banco Ambrosiano, so that there's no doubt in your minds. If you outline the article, which I did, I typed it into about 9 pages of outline, that how entangled they are. And the fifth point was that November 25th, 2 days after the Wall Street Journal story linking in details, I mean, one detail after the other, the link of the Vatican Bank to Ambrosiano, Italy's largest bank that collapsed, 2 days later, there was a wire service story from Reuters and in the Los Angeles Herald, still more trouble for the Vatican Bank. 2 days after the other story, there was a $630 million arrest, $630 million in heroin in the Banco Ambrosiano in Milan, which is the bank we're talking about, the bank that the Wall Street Journal was talking about, and 175 people were arrested. They want 200 people. It's right inside the bank, and an elderly man and his young Italian wife, he's from Syria, are sending arms to the Middle East, to Iran and other countries. In return, they get heroin, and they send that to Europe and into New York City and into the United States, and then put the money for people like Mr. Strauss and the Nazis around the world, Licio Gelli and Joseph Mengele's and Bormann, put it into those banks. That was November 25th. And 2 days later, just 2 days later, after the scandal of the Ambrosiano bust, of the dope and the weapons, then the Pope said, I will help you solve the bank scandal. Then he pledged that he would do more, and this is the first time that he really said, because their back's against the wall. Then finally, on November 29th, 4 days later, he promoted the Opus Dei. The Opus Dei, I've done programs on it. It's an organization of lay people. He's made them equal to the religious orders. They could come directly to him. They are the bankers, the businessmen, the DeLoreans, the Catholic people, Swiss bank accounts, Cayman Island accounts, business people that fund fascism. It was formed in 1928 in Spain. It funded Franco. Its purpose was to turn Franco into a fascist state, and they called it neutral during the war so that money and people could be siphoned from Europe out through Madrid and through Spain. And they promoted the Opus Dei. They funded Adolf Hitler and Mussolini, and they have grown in power. And after all of this, and putting on the Vatican Bank a member, a war criminal from the Reich Bank, from IG Farben. And remember, when this pope became pope, I said he's a disaster. He worked at Auschwitz, which is Auschwitz. He worked for Solvay Chemical, which is IG Farben. So he worked for IG Farben when he was an actor chemist before he ever became a pope. He's appointed the IG Farben board, who was working with Solvay during the war, to help the Vatican. He's become the pope, and they are to help the Vatican. Now, those in chronological order are the stories that I will share with you now. Number one, the London Times, November 14th. Calvi, Roberta Calvi, The Riddle of the Suitcase. In September, just this last month, there was a second postmortem. He was buried a second time. As I say, there was no comment on what they found the second time, but the article from the London Times said after the postmortem, they went for the people that were with him. Now, maybe there were bullet holes or he was strangled at the neck, because then they went and for him. And London Times has a story, mysterious flight, the chartered Learjet used the day that Roberta Calvi was found hanging. Now, Calvi was the president of the Banco Ambrosiano. He was God's banker. He took it off from Michael Sindona, who's serving 25 years in jail for collapsing banks and wanted on murder charges. And then Calvi was murdered in England. The flight casts fresh doubt on the circumstances of his death, the London Times said. God's banker, this is the way they referred to him, the president of Banco Ambrosiano, had the closest ties with the Vatican. The suicide verdict in London was widely disbelieved. The bank collapsed and many millions of funds disappeared. The London Times goes on June the 18th at 6 p.m., Roberta Calvi's body was found. But on June 18th, leaving Geneva, Switzerland, and going to England to the Gatwick Airport, G-A-T-W-I-C-K, was a Learjet just before Calvi was found over there in Blackfriars Bridge, hanging by a shoelace. A jet left Geneva, Switzerland on the 14th, that same day, on the 18th. It went from Geneva to England, and just when they took off, they got a telephone call. It was a round trip. And they were told to delay the call at the airport, delay in London, that somebody at the Gatwick Airport was to get on the plane. Four people were on the plane. It was chartered by Hans Albert Kunz, K-U-N-Z, a Swiss businessman. He arranged Roberta Calvi's flight to London 4 days later, Hans Albert Kunz, and he's supposed to have the record, and of course the who's who of the Opus Dei has to be with him, as well as a list of $500 million to $1 billion where it went. Now, Flavia Carboni, who was arrested, and he's in Italy now, called from London to Geneva and told the airport, stall a while or wait for me. He was delayed. And they waited at the airport. There were two men and two women on the airplane. They had no luggage or satchels of any kind. They went to Gatwick. They waited 99 minutes. Somebody was at the airport, and they picked up a piece of luggage, which was Roberta Calvi's material that he had taken, obviously, from Switzerland. The passengers left. They had left without luggage in Geneva. They had a medium-sized suitcase and went back to Geneva the same day. And the article says that what was in the suitcase would unravel the $800 million or more siphon from Banco Ambrosiano. But the importance of the suitcase, what the Italians believe, it will be the key to many of these stories. Now, Hans Albert Kunz admitted to the London Times that he chartered that plane for Calvi, and he also chartered the one on June the 14th. Now, you remember how important that week was. I've mentioned many times in Geneva on June the 14th, when Calvi left there, Edwin Wilson was in Geneva and then went to Zurich. And 2 days later, he picked up $18 million before he came. And he's blowing the story. Raymond Donovan, our Secretary of Labor under investigation with mob ties and defended by Helene Von Damme, was in Geneva June the 14th. Pope John Paul II was in Geneva June the 14th. He flew in there from Argentina, where Licio Gelli was at the time. Calvi left there. He was in the same city with the Pope, with Raymond Donovan. And Licio Gelli, of course, had given money to Reagan's campaign and was at the inauguration. And he was still in hiding. And King Khaled, K-H-A-L-E-D, from Saudi Arabia, died that day. And Alexander Haig and George Bush took an airplane and flew over to Saudi Arabia, and $22 billion of Saudi Arabian money was linked to the Banco Ambrosiana Roberta Calvi, the Masonic Lodge. So the day that Calvi left Geneva, these people also were in Geneva. Now, they're looking for the people that went with Calvi or took the plane over. There was an Andrea Carboni, as I say, who checked into Geneva, Switzerland, and went to the Hotel Century, where he met Italian decorator Ugo Flavoni, F-L-A-V-O-N-I. He checks into Geneva June the 17th. And June the 18th, one day later, he is joined by three unknown people. And on the 18th, they fly in, they are stalled over, and they fly to England. There are four people on the plane. The decorator said he was to pick up 12,500 pounds, British pounds, about $24,000. He was in there to collect money to decorate some Rome offices. Now, the Learjet plane was paid for by Mr. Kuntz. The London Times began investigating what dates Calvi went to London. The plane that flew in hours, the same hours that he was being killed, this plane was flying over. Somebody met the plane and took his satchel or the suitcase back to Geneva, and therefore the notorious Opus Dei, if he had that material, and he was one of the heads of the Masonic, secret Masonic lodge to bring fascism to all of Europe and South America, the list was there, and it was returned safely in their hands. Now, the second item I mentioned, going in that chronological order, the Pope giving the tongue lashing down in Palermo, Switzerland, also in Palermo, Sicily, where the mob is. But out of Palermo comes a Monsignor Arrigo Pintonelli. His name is A-R-R-I-G-O, P-I-N-T-O-N-E-L-L-O. He's an honorary military archbishop. He represents the dark side of the Rome religious life. And the men arrested in the Ambrosiana, they referred to them as part of a cult. That $500 or $600 million was a part of the Catholic cult. And Pintonelli he was born in Venice, but his home base is in Palermo, Sicily, with the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E Society, that worship the Nordic race cults. And that is the home base there. So I'm not sure that the Pope went there to scold the mafia, considering the Ambrosiana was loaded with all these millions to fund his favorite groups and organizations. The excuse was to give a scolding to the mafia. But considering the people down there in Sicily and his first trip there, I think it's very significant. Now, on November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, as I say, were the articles, the Pope sets new rules on Vatican finances. This is Wall Street Journal. He's going to be careful. He's only going to use Peter's pence. He's not going to invest in the mob and syndicate. And John Cardinal Kroll of Philadelphia, that's Grace Kelly's cardinal. Cardinal Cook is John DeLorean's special one. He was on that 15-member commission to report to the Pope about the Vatican Bank and Paul Marcinkus. And at that point, he was very, I'm humble. I will help you, but it will clear the bank. We're not responsible for any of the involvement of the scandal. We're not going to pay this note that was promised by Paul Marcinkus. Now, the long article in Wall Street Journal, November 23rd, how the Vatican Bank got itself implicated in the Ambrosiana scandal. I won't have time tonight. I want to go into the drug bust, but I'll get back to this later. This article is the history of Paul Marcinkus, the head banker of the Vatican from Chicago, from Cicero, Illinois, the Capone gang area, how he became the head banker without any banking experience. The article goes into the chronology, and one of the men defending Paul Marcinkus in this article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal is Robert F. Wagner, former mayor of New York City, President Carter's envoy to the bank. Now, last week I mentioned the father of Wagner, the father of Robert F. Wagner, was a law partner with Mr. Rifkin, who formed the von Bolschwing Galen Network in the United States in Europe, that office TCI, how Wagner's his role with this corporation of CTC that became TCI with Helene von Damm and von Bolschwing. Wagner, Robert F. Wagner, the father, was a law partner with Rick Rifkin. The Wagner, who's defending Marcinkus, is the son of the other Robert F. Wagner, who went to Fordham University, St. John's Law School. He was a representative in the Vatican for Jimmy Carter and the U.S. ambassador to Spain in 1968-69. So the people defending Marcinkus and the Vatican finances have a direct involvement, if not an indirect, I would say a direct involvement in a tangled web of finances. And, of course, they're out there defending what went on. This Wall Street Journal article goes into the career of Marcinkus from 1952 and his first trip, arranging his first assignment for the Pope to go to India in 1964, and how after John Kennedy was murdered, how the Americans took over and meshed the CIA with the Nixon administration. From 64, they had control of the Vatican, the CIA, even before. But this goes into 1972. Archbishop Marcinkus joins the board of Italy's Banco Ambrosiano. It tells about the trips he planned for the popes, how he joins the bank, how Marcinkus used Roberta Calvi for sensitive political operations, how Mark Elsendona worked with them. They had a secret group called Suprafin, S-U-P-R-A-F-I-N, and then capital S, small p, capital A, Suprafin. The Vatican Bank gets more involved, according to the Wall Street Journal. A long confidential report came out in 1978, and it continued up to the present, called a super mysterious company, the Suprafin. And this tangled web shows how they borrowed money from Banco Ambrosiano, the Vatican, under the direction of the Ambrosiano officials, and they formed a company called Suprafin. They bought stocks in it and built shell companies in Liechtenstein and in Panama and, of course, in the Bahamas. Suprafin is pertinent to the Vatican operations, according to the Wall Street Journal. It is a convoluted web of managing and mismanaging investments, divestments in the absolute marriage of the Vatican Bank and Roberta Calvi of Banco Ambrosiano. The webbing of these people is tangled very, very tightly. In 1978, they linked the mysterious Roberta Calvi and the Vatican Bank involvement to this Suprafin. It is a dummy front title of money mishandling and shenanigans. And I will try next week, I really will go into detail on this article from the Wall Street Journal that I outlined, as I say, into 9 pages, because without any doubt, it makes very loud and clear these characters that I've been talking about, Roberta Calvi and Paul Marcinkus from Cicero, Illinois. But the big story that followed that, that I do want to do, because we run out of time, unfortunately, was that one, still more trouble for Banco Ambrosiano. The police are investigating whether the Vatican Bank finances arms, drug deals. The popes and cardinals discuss the issue. Now, this is right there on the front page, what I've been trying to tell people, and it isn't a question of being anti-Catholic. I talk about the drug deals of Sharon and the Israeli government and Begin and their role with Lebanon and narcotics, the Israeli mafia. But this is really a control situation. The article says, in Milan, the Italian police are going into the Banco Ambrosiano and investigating whether they were the ones that financed the International Gang of Arms and Drug Dealers reported on Italian television this week that the Vatican had assisted in the financing of an international gang of arms and drug dealers with Ambanco Ambrosiano. TV Italian channel RAI said, in quotes, the police are looking into and questioning bank officials after it was learned that smugglers were part of the largest world organization of illegal arms traffic, and they had their offices in the Ambrosiano Bank in Milan. That's the bank where the secretary to Roberta Calvi went flying out of the window June 17th, and he was found dead June the 18th. According to the newspaper, quotes, the gang, comma, inside Banco Ambrosiano property furnished Middle East countries, including Iran, with arms. They exported them illegally from Europe and from the United States. No other countries were mentioned. They didn't identify the Middle East countries, but when the Pope was entertaining Arafat and Wilson and Turple and Korkula and the CIA were funding Arafat, then you know, because these people worked together, that one of the countries also, the gang, was the PLO, and he probably had them there to apologize for what the naughty Israelis and the Lebanese did in clinging them out. That's why he had the Pope there. The Pope had Arafat in the Vatican just at that time. No other countries were named. The military hardware includes helicopters, armored cars, exported illegally, traded for drugs, mainly heroin, sold in the United States. This is the Los Angeles Herald Examiner. The mastermind of this operation is Henry Arsan, a 70-year-old Syrian, and his Italian wife, Giovanni, who's 54 years old. They've been charged with illegal traffic and weapons. Arsan owns a hauling company and uses the offices of Banco Ambrosiano in Milan that was the front for the gang. And they've issued warrants for arrest for the full gang. It took 2 years. They've been investigating this, interestingly enough, for 2 years, the same amount of time that they've been investigating the Flick Group funding Mr. Strauss. The money went into banks in West Germany, in Austria. Now, think Von Daum would be our ambassador to Austria. Mr. Strauss, the controlling politician in West Germany with the Flick Group, and in Switzerland, of course, the notorious Swiss banks. They've been under investigation on a lead since 1980, and they just got busted in the bank the same day that the cardinals were meeting in Rome, not too far from Milan. That was a story still more troubled for Banco Ambrosiano. Then Los Angeles Times had another story, ring trading guns and tanks for drugs reported broken. Investigators had cracked the world's largest illegal arms traffic. Isn't it ironic that the largest group of arms and weapons comes out of the Banco Ambrosiano, when for so many years I have tried to say that that money is going to Germany, South America, for people like Strauss and for Licio Gelli and for the Opus Dei, which doesn't need money. It pumps money and businesses into this group. But as a side, they have the weapons and narcotics. The LA Times says the agents were paid off in Turkey and in other Mideast countries. And when they mentioned Turkey, they quickly arrested about three men last week who tried to shoot the Pope. NBC said it was the KGB, and with the new KGB, the former KGB chief, as the head of the Soviet Union, I told you that a lot of the lies that we've been fed will have to be erased, because Mr. Andropov knows what happened. So when the story broke, they brought in three of the men, and they're looking for two more in the conspiracy of shooting the Pope. I wish we would do this in this country and get the Nazis with John Hinckley, that traveled around the country, and the second gunman at the Hilton Hotel, and the cover-up of the shooting of Ronald Reagan, the attempt on his life. The LA Times story says the gang has links with weapon manufacturers in France, in West Germany, and Belgium. And, of course, the West Germany and Belgium buy them from Mr. Samuel Cummings, whose brother-in-law is head of our Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, the great John Tower. It's his sister who's married to John Tower. The deliveries were in trailers and trucks. Some went overland. There are 41 Italian, Turks, Lebanese, Syrians arrested at the time. The trial date for the first few will be February 1983. Drugs worth more than $690 million were confiscated in the Banco Ambrosiano building. They are terminals for the world's biggest arms traffic and drug operation. It happens to be in the offices of the bank where Calvi was, where his secretary was, as I say, where she went flying out the window. And they operated in offices called Export-Import Agency STIBAM, STIBAM, International Transport. Their offices are in Milan, in New York, and Liechtenstein. And, of course, the other outline of the Wall Street Journal story on the Banco Ambrosiano goes into Luxembourg and Liechtenstein. So that's how we get so many narcotics in this country. But they're going to fascist purposes. And then to wind up the week, as if that wasn't enough, the Pope decided to elevate the Opus Dei. And this morning's Chronicle, it was on page 37 of the TV section between boxing and a football game, a one-inch statement, Opus Dei strengthened the Vatican, boosted the power yesterday of the staunchy conservative Opus Dei, one of the wealthiest and most influential Roman Catholic lay organizations, by making its leader a personal prelate answerable to the Pope. The UPI had a story this past week in the Oakland Tribune that one of the World Watchers subscribers said to me, John Paul II has elevated the Opus Dei. And you see, with lay people, they can be the bankers from the Reich Bank, from the Deutsche Bank, from the German Nazi banks that are in full swing now in the Credit Suisse. There are 72,000 members in this organization, if that doesn't scare you. In 80 countries, secrecy and hidden tactics are their methods. A member of that group who's at Oxford in Great Britain was quoted in the newspaper this last week of saying, using the quotations that I use of wine to put us back to the Middle Ages. And he said that the group is so totalitarian that they take control of their young. It's compared to Reverend Moon and the sects and the cults. They have fascist ideals, the Hitler Youth. Those of you who hear the program locally, tomorrow night, Tuesday and Wednesday, there's going to be four hours on the training of Hitler Youth on how to taste blood, smell blood, and so forth. Now, these are the business people that will raise the money and network. Business also is the narcotics, the trucks, the weapons, the people not wearing the cloth, you know, in the Vatican itself. Now, I want to do more on the outline of the intermingling of the Ambrosiano with the Vatican from Wall Street Journal, because there are other important articles of the Ambrosiano and Licio Gelli to Mussolini. In fact, the Wall Street Journal mentions the Mussolini fascists in this particular article, and the danger and how they're using the money for political purposes in South America and Central America, that they've used dummy fronts, that the money for weapons and drugs is used for politics and swastikas and Nazi literature. This is what is happening. And so when the Pope makes an appointment to the Vatican to look into investments for the Vatican and puts a man on there like Herman Abst, you have a full cycle. A board of directors from IG Farben is working and looking into funding of Vatican money in the future with John Paul II, who worked for IG Farben at Auschwitz. Things that I have said in separate items or books of articles are coming together each week. Just in 1 week, series of articles are coming together. The cast of characters are meeting head on, or however you want to call it. They're all there in the news. It is a terrifying time, but it's an interesting time. How can you study it? Just start with point A. Start today and read the paper. Get some of those articles I mentioned. There's no other way to do it. Well, the hour is up, and it's time for some nice, sweet music. Be sure to send money to the station, or I think it's going to go off the air. They do not have enough subscribers, and they need them, and I'm not kidding. It's desperate. Do whatever you can. This is Mae Brussel. This is KAZU, and it is Pacific Grove, California.
The views expressed by Mae Brussel during World Watchers are those of the commentator and do not reflect the opinions of KAZU, its board of directors, or staff.